On the line, I have one of my favorite film reviewers. I say one of because he's one of a pair. This is Eddie from jordanandeddie.wordpress.com, all the way from Australia. Good evening where you are right now, Eddie.
Yeah, and good morning to you, sir. Where you are, it's a little bit of a time difference, isn't it?
Yeah, just slightly. We eventually worked out the time difference after about a 6 weeks of doing this. We worked out that it's like a 9 hour time difference. So this has been
not the simplest thing.
So this has been an interesting week because we've had actually this whole year has been quite interesting when it comes to the range of different movies that we've seen. This week you went to go see Thor Ragnarok, which I'm still not convinced I'm saying correctly.
Yeah, I think it's Ragnarok, but that's only because I have a few nerdy buddies that are into kind of Norse mythology and all these types of things, and I think Ragnarok means something like the end of days or the end of times or the destruction of cities. I'm not quite sure, but it's not a good thing anyway, Ragnarok. But look, Terrence, the movie is a good thing. I think you should go and see it, mate. It's a lot of fun. And look, even if you weren't the biggest fan of other Thor films, this one's quite a bit different. So this is Marvel going very much the comedy route of things. So don't expect a serious Marvel offering. This is, I would say, first and foremost, a comedy and a very different take on the God of Thunder.
Hmm. Do you think that the Guardians of the Galaxy, the success that both of those movies had, maybe influenced the decision-making with this film?
100%, Terrence. I would be very, very surprised if it wasn't a big factor in this. Guardians of the Galaxy being the success it was, both the first and second film, and even the second Guardians of the Galaxy was even more comedy focused than the first, I would say. And look, if anyone liked Guardians of the Galaxy, they will instantly recognise the tone of Thor. It's very much that looking for the next quip every turn, and a lot of over the top sequences and action scenes. And even Thor in the other films he's been in, especially standalone films, he was quite, well, you wouldn't call him emo, but you know, he was a bit of a sad sack type character. He was just, you know, very concerned about a lot of important things, obviously, so he didn't have time for jokes. But in Ragnarok, he's had a haircut and he's had a bit of a humour change, and he is very much the man of the hour when it comes to the comedy show. And Chris Hemsworth's having a great time. I think I've read interviews. I know he said he was a little bit bored, perhaps, of playing that version of Thor, and this has definitely given him a new lease on the character. And I would imagine that's quite exciting for an actor that's been playing the same role for a number of years and having to kind of contractually oblige to what he's asked to do. But, look, it's a very interesting take on the whole character. And I think Marvel now really tapped into this idea that, hey, you know, we're not only going to do action films and have some really cool scenes when it comes to that, but we're also going to be really funny. So, look, it's been a little bit, it's like everything, isn't it? We get a bit tired from things, but it's undoubtable that Thor Ragnarok provides a really good time. Even if it's not the most memorable of films, it's probably funnier than a lot of actual comedy. So it's interesting how Marvel have been able to do that.
Does it feel, though, that it's a little bit of a weird shift where we've had fairly serious Thors, even through all of the Avengers films as well? He was kind of the very stoic, serious character. And now we have this kind of more humorous version that you're talking about. Is there a disconnect?
Look, it is odd. It's probably one of the biggest changes in a series I've ever seen. I know most successful series really try to keep the formula almost the same for each one so they don't alienate too many fans from the old films and they don't want to change things up too much and become something else. But yeah, you're right. It is a bit, I didn't watch them recently, but if I was to watch the old Thor films now and kind of compare them to Ragnarok, it would be a very weird feeling, I think, because they are so different. And look, the reason is, I would have to say, is, well, not only are Marvel going for this Guardians of the Galaxy scenario, and I'll be interested to see what they do with the Avengers Infinity War next year, whether that's very comedy-focused as well. Mm. But, I would say one of the big reasons behind this is the director, Taika Waititi, who's a New Zealand director. He's a very, I would have said at the start, a risky choice. I mean, his films before Thor have been very much character-driven and New Zealand films and probably haven't had the biggest audiences around the world, even though he's had a bit of success at some festivals. And It was a big risk by Marvel to choose him, and he's renowned for this really oddball humour, and New Zealand's really good for that. You know, Flight of the Conchords, films like Hunt for the Wilder People, which Taika Waititi directed, and Boy, What We Do in the Shadows. It's very, very funny, kind of Monty Python almost humour, I would say, and he really brings that to the film. And I personally was a bit worried he wouldn't be able to do the action scenes well, but he handles that really good. So, look, it's interesting. I think he's actually been tapped into direct the Akira remake, which is a very famous anime from the 1980s. So he's moving on to kind of this different phase of his career, moving from small-budget comedies to these big action-orientated films. But, yeah, he's lost none of his kind of comedic powers here.
That's strange. Did I just hear an Australian film reviewer give a New Zealand director a compliment?
Well, look, I'm sure in a few years we'll be trying to claim him as our own. That seems to be what happens. We all of a sudden say, "Hey, no, he's Australian." Like, off the throw. But no, look, he's a really funny guy. You see him in interviews, and his films are very good. I mean, those films I mentioned that he was involved in are all worth checking out. And it's very interesting. I probably would have never said in a million years that he'd be moving to Hollywood and making these big budget films. But Hollywood's obviously seen the potential for him to not only bring a bit of humour, and he's really good with characters. He can work really well with these odd characters and make them really believable and likeable. And that's what he does with Thor. It introduces quite a few new characters as well as bringing back a lot of old ones. And Kate Blanchett is the film's villain. She plays Hela. She's really good. She's having a lot of fun. A bit of the over-the-top comic book villain, but she does a really good job. Jeff Goldblum is in it. There's a guy called the Grand Master. He's very camp character there. He has a blast. And a new addition to the series is Tessa Thompson, who plays a character, a warrior kind of princess, I guess, called Valkyrie. And she's great as well. And they've all got these little comedic moments. And Tom Hiddleston's really good in the returning role as Loki. And yeah, it's actually really interesting just seeing these actors have fun. And in particular, probably Mark Ruffalo as Hulk. So Hulk this time around actually talked, which is a bit new for the Green Machine. But yeah, Mark Ruffalo's having an absolute blast, and his chemistry with Chris Hemsworth is really impressive, actually, and that they tap into that quite a bit. So we do get a lot of Thor and Hulk together in the film, which we probably haven't had a lot of in the other one. So they really use that to their advantage in Ragnarok.
And I suppose, I mean, these characters and these actors have been working together for it feels like a decade now, with the Marvel Cinematic Universe really getting into high gear. So you'd kind of expect these characters, and well, more likely the actors, to be in a bit of a cool flow. And do you feel that with this movie, where they understand each other, they know how they work, and does that come out nicely?
Yeah, look, absolutely. I mean, Tom Hiddleston, Hemsworth, Ruffalo. They're old hats, so I'd imagine they'd be able to play these roles in their sleep now. Like you said, they've been doing it for so many years, and obviously you start to kind of live as that character, and you live and breathe it when you have to put on the costume and things, and they did really well. So, now look, that chemistry's certainly there. You can tell that they're, look, maybe they hate each other off-screen, but it seems as though they're all really good friends, and that comes across in the screen. It's like when you see guys like Seth Rogen and his comedic mates together in films. They just have a repertoire that works really well, so... look, I think one of the biggest things Marvel ever did in that late 2008, 2009, that period when they were casting a lot of these movies, they really did nail the casting. Whatever else you say about the Marvel films, they really did a great job of finding the right people for the right role. I don't think in the last 10 years we could say that anyone was a bit miscast. It feels like they nail it every time. And even Kate Blanchett, I mean, she's probably more of an Oscar hunter than anything. I mean, she does a lot of dramatic, really awards-friendly fare, and then to see her having fun in this really over-the-top villain role, it's great to see that. And Jeff Goldblum is obviously not afraid to have a bit of a good time in a blockbuster, but he's having a blast. And Carl Urban's in it, so he's a bit of a familiar face from films like Dread and Star Trek. Anthony Hopkins is certainly still in this one, and Taika Waititi, the director, actually plays a character called Corgi. It's a CGI character, and he's, I mean, he steals a lot of the film's best jokes, so perhaps, director privileges there. He got to use the best lines in the film, but he has a really good time, and very recognisable New Zealand voice, so he was allowed to keep his natural accent, which is, you know, nice of Marvel to let him do so.
So it sounds like, I mean, it's a properly enjoyable film, but one of the issues I have with Marvel is if you're like me and you haven't had a chance to really catch up with all the movies, I almost feel like I can't jump into Thor Ragnarok until I've kind of watched the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Is that the case, or can I just jump in and enjoy this film without necessarily watching The Amazing Spider-Man or the Last Avengers film?
Yeah, it's a look, that's a very interesting one, mate. A great point. I would say you'd be able to watch it and enjoy it. So if people are out there and they may not be the biggest Marvel fans ever, they would enjoy the film, but having watched the other films and all these little in-jokes that are certainly in Ragnarok, it would make a big difference. There's quite a number of scenes that reference something that happened in one of the more recent films or some type of really obscure joke that even for me sometimes I think, why was that in it? And then you rack your brain, you remember that that was something from another film. And there's been so many Marvel films now, and obviously intertwining together so much now, it's sometimes hard to even tell the difference sometimes. Mm. But now look at it's a lot of fun. Certainly you could watch it a bit blind, but you would get more out of it from being well-adversed in the Marvel films. Even if it was, say, just the Avenger films or the first few Thor films, I think would make a big difference.
Well, there we go. Eddie from jordanandeddie.wordpress.com. Go check out their website. It's full of great reviews, great tips about which movies you may not have heard of to go watch. Eddie, thank you so much for your time, man. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks so much, Terrence. I appreciate it, mate. Have a lovely day.
Cool. Cheers.